Like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. I would like to read from Job chapter 16. Job chapter 16. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to bow before Thee and to come before Thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help. Lord, we need Thee every moment of our lives. We know that we can't draw the next breath without Thy blessings upon us. We know that Thou art the giver of life and the sustainer of life. But we especially feel a great need of Thy help when we come into the house of the Lord to try to worship Thee, for we know that they that worship Thee must worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and without the help of Your Holy Spirit, we cannot worship Thee. So we pray that You would fill each of Thy people this day with Your Spirit, that we might be able to be lifted up and drawn into a sacred nearness with Thee, that we would be able to feel the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that we would feel the love of God. We pray that You would bless every individual that's here and each family that's represented. We pray Thy blessings upon each of them. You know the needs of each person that's here and all of the others that are on our prayer list that stand in great need of Thy help. We ask You, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask You to bless and help all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that Thou art the great physician who has all power, and we ask You to touch and heal and lift them up. Pray that You would bless those that are facing surgery. Bless Brother Terry tomorrow, and bless all the others that are having surgery during this coming week. And the ones in the next week, all the ones that are facing surgery, Lord, bless each one. Bless Brother Bill Tucker in a very special way. Again, now we pray that You'd bless those that are having treatments for cancer. You'd bless each of them, that they would feel the healing hand of God working through the medication that they receive. Bless now all of Your people that are having other kinds of troubles and problems, the heartaches and the burdens that each one has. We pray that You would bless them. Help us all to work with one another and labor with one another and pray one for another. Pray that You would bless those that are discouraged and despondent, that You would encourage them and help us to encourage them. Bless those that have gone down wrong paths. We pray that You would bless them to be restored to paths of righteousness, that You would bless them and help them. Again, now we pray Thy blessings upon our nation, that You would have mercy upon us. You would help us, Lord, to know the things that we can do individually to prepare for the difficult days that are ahead. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I would like to read now from Job chapter 16. I'm going to read the first five verses. The Word of God says, "Then Job," this is after Job has had his friends wrongly accuse him repeatedly, "then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all." You hear that expression? "Miserable comforters are ye all." He says, "Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief." In other words, Job is saying, if you were in the same kind of problems that you're having the same kinds of problems that I'm having, I could encourage you, and I would encourage you, or I could say the same kinds of things that you're saying to me. And I want you to remember this. The problems that Job was having in his life, they were not because of sin in his life. The trouble that Job was having was a trial of his faith. He lost all 10 of his children. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his health. He lost everything that he had. And it was not because of sin, but it was rather it was because of a trial in Job's life. And Job's friends came to him, and I believe that they were good friends in many ways. I think they were about as good a friend as anybody could get, because they came and they, to begin with, they just sat with Job day and night. They didn't say a word. And as long as they didn't say a word, they were good comforters. They were just there. And I think so often in our lives that we need to learn just to be present. When people need comforting, just be there. You don't have to always say something. We think we've got to say something, but it was when Job's friends started talking that they messed up. As long as they were just there to comfort Job, I think it was a great encouragement to Job to have his friends sitting there with him. But then they began to talk. And they talked and they accused him of doing all kinds of things that had brought the judgments of God in his life. And it was not God's judgments. Again, I want to reemphasize that, because there's a tremendous difference in David losing his child and Job losing his children. David lost his child because of sin in his life. And there were people that knew about that sin and rightly charged David with the fact that the reason that your child has died is because of the sin that you have committed. But you can never conclude, when you watch and you see things happen in people's lives, unless you know of sin and know that God is judging them for that sin, you better be careful about accusing them and declaring that what has happened is because of sin in their lives. He says, "Miserable comforters are ye all." Have you ever been a miserable comforter? Have you ever gone to somebody and said something that when you said it, you realized as soon as you said it, it wasn't necessarily in a judgmental way like Job's friends were here, but sometimes you go to comfort somebody and you say something and you realize, I shouldn't have said what I did. Sometimes we are miserable comforters. We don't say the right kind of thing. And so when people come to you and they say things to you that are not comforting to you, then you need the strength and grace to forgive them. If they are your friends, you need to pray that God will help you, that you'll be merciful and gracious, and that you will learn to forgive people when they are, like Job's friends, when they are miserable comforters. Because sometimes you are a miserable comforter yourself. So you need to pray, God, help me to forgive those who are miserable comforters. Job described his friends in several different ways. This is one way where he called them miserable comforters. Back up one page in your Bible and look at Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13. I want you to notice in Job 13 and verse 4, he says something different about his friends. He says in Job 13, verse 4, the Word of God says that Job said, "But ye are forgers of lies, ye are all physicians of no value." You hear that expression there? Ye are all physicians of no value. Now, have you ever seen a doctor that wasn't worth anything? You ever seen a physician, a doctor that really was not worth anything? And that's what Job says about his friends here in chapter 13. He says, ye are all physicians of no value. Now I want to ask you this question. Can a physician be something different than somebody that has an MD at the end of their name? Can a physician, by definition, and you go home and look at your dictionary and you'll find this to be true, that there are a lot of different ways that the word physician is used. Sometimes the word physician is talking about, and this is from my World Book Encyclopedia from when I was in high school, because I want you to notice that in that encyclopedia and dictionary, that there are definitions given that are much different than dictionaries today. Because many times in that World Book Encyclopedia Dictionary from 1963, the definitions will also go into Scripture and show how those words are used in the Word of God. And it's, and in particular, on this word physician, it says that it can be a medical doctor that takes care of physical needs of the body, and that's usually who we think of as a physician. But then that dictionary also says that sometimes it's speaking of the divine physician, speaking of God, who is the great physician. Now, brethren, that was the way we understood things in 1963, is that the great physician was better than all the other physicians of this world. And then that third definition in that World Book Encyclopedia says that a physician can be somebody that helps someone's soul, not just his body. In other words, brethren, I believe that you and I ought to be physicians. I believe that the Word of God many times talks about the fact that there is balm in Gilead. The Word of God has medicine for your soul and for my soul. And the more you know about the Word of God, you'll find that you can be a physician that helps people with their soul if you know the right medicine to use from God's holy Word. And that's all contained in that word physician. And it's that third definition of being a physician of the soul that Job was talking about when he said of his friends, ye are all physicians of what? What are the last two words there? You're physicians of no value. You have not helped my soul a bit. You are of no value to me. You are physicians of no value. Now, I don't want to concentrate on that. I want to go back to chapter 16 and verse 2. And I want us to think this morning about what Job said about his friends in Job 16 and verse 2 when he says, miserable comforters are ye all. Miserable comforters are ye all. I want you to remember that about Job's friends. Miserable comforters were they all. They were all miserable comforters. Now, can you think of people in the Word of God that were not? I want to go to the other extreme. Can you think of people that were not miserable comforters, but can you think of people that in the Word of God that were good comforters, that were excellent comforters, that were physicians of real value, that helped people and encouraged people and strengthened people in their soul? Can you think of people that were good comforters? Name two or three, because I went through the word comfort, and there's about 100 times the word comfort and comforter, and a form of that word is used in the Bible, and I was just amazed at how many examples there are in the Word of God of people that the Bible says that this person comforted this person. This person comforted this person. For example, the Word of God talks about whenever Boaz found Ruth out there in the field. You know what the Bible says that Boaz did? Boaz comforted Ruth. Now, who are some other people in the Word of God that you can think about that you know that they were great comforters? Was Boaz, listen carefully, was Boaz a good comforter? And usually, yes, in the Bible, usually when a person needs comforting, they need two things, usually in the Bible. Usually in the Bible, when a person needs comforting, they need their soul comforted, but most of the time in the Scriptures, when they need comforting in their soul, they also need financial help or food. Now that's something that's not always true today, but it certainly is commonly found in the Word of God that when a person needed their soul comforted, their body also had some needs that needed to be met. For example, let's go back to Genesis just a moment. Should Job's friends, should they have known how to comfort Job? Okay, then my question to you is, should you know how to comfort your friends? Okay? If you don't know how to comfort your friends, you need to learn how to comfort your friends. Now, while I'm saying that, let me say this. If you comfort people, if you speak words of comfort, and God condemns His servants when they are speaking comfortably to His people, when the people are walking in sinful ways and they just speak words of comfort and they say peace, peace, when there is no peace and they are comforting them, God condemns that repeatedly. You don't comfort people that are walking in sin. Those are times they need words of rebuke. Now, when they are convicted and they feel the grief and the heartache because of sin, and they have repented and they brought forth fruit meat for repentance, then they are to be comforted. But if you speak words of comfort to people that are walking in sin, you're going completely contrary to the Word of God. And that's often what comes from pulpits today, is just words of comfort when there needs to be words of rebuke. Now listen, in Genesis chapter 50, sometimes, listen carefully to this now, sometimes people don't deserve to be comforted, but you need to comfort them anyway. And what I'm saying here is that in Joseph's life, Joseph's brothers had been as mean and vile as anybody could be towards Joseph personally. They had wanted to kill him, and they had sold him, and they had done all kinds of evil things against their brother Joseph. And yet when Joseph was in a position of power and authority, and his brothers needed, what did they need? Food, right. They needed food. I want you to listen as they came to Joseph begging for food and knowing that they deserved to be killed. I want you to hear them crying to Joseph and asking him to have mercy on them. And then I want you to see Joseph's response. In Genesis chapter 50, come down to verse 18. Genesis chapter 50, beginning in verse 18. The Word of God says, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants." Were they willing to serve Joseph right now? Did they know that Joseph had the upper hand? Because Joseph had said, "You will be my servants, and you're going to suffer for what you have done to me personally." I want you to remember, listen carefully, brethren, I want you to remember that there's a difference in a personal offense and a public offense. Does everybody understand that? You can do something to me personally, and I can forgive you, and it's taken care of, and it's done right then, and it's over right then. But there's a difference in me personally offending you and me doing something that brings open shame and reproach on the cause of Christ. In Genesis chapter 50, these men had done something personal against Joseph, and they fell down before Joseph, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." Now listen to verse 19. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not." Now listen carefully. "I will nourish you and your little ones." What's he going to do first? He's going to feed them. "And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." Now do you see how loving and forgiving that Joseph was? He fed them, he nourished them, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Brethren, they knew what a good comforter Joseph was. Joseph was as good a comforter as anybody could ever be. He spoke words that were words of wisdom. He spoke words of kindness. He spoke words of forgiveness. And he gave his brothers and their children, he gave them the food that they needed, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Can you learn a lesson from Joseph right here when somebody treats you wrong? talking about now not just your brother in the flesh or sister in the flesh. A brother or sister in Christ may treat you wrong personally, but when they treat you wrong, you need to pray that God will help you to be like Joseph was, to be a good comforter anyway. Now that takes the grace of God to comfort people whenever God's judgment's on them because they have mistreated you. But you still need to pray, God, help me to be a... What were Job's friends? Job's friends were, fill in the blank. Job's friends were what kind of comforters? They were miserable. That means they were sorry and they were good for nothing. They were terrible comforters. But instead of being miserable comforters like Job's friends, we need to pray, God, help me to be a good comforter like Joseph was. The Bible is full of good comforters, people that knew by the wisdom that God gave them, they knew how to be good comforters. Brother Clay, do you need to be a good comforter in the job that you're in? That you have a vocation that you being a good comforter is very, very important. And yet all of us, as God's children, we all need to pray, God, help me to be a good comforter. Not a miserable comforter, but a good comforter. Now, go with me to the New Testament just a moment. Turn in your Bibles to Romans. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Are there many books, are there many, many, many books that will tell you how to comfort people? Numerous books. But brethren, God has given us a book that's better than all the rest of the books combined. The more you know about the Word of God, the better you're going to be able to comfort God's people, because the best comfort that you can give God's people is not words that come out of your head and your thoughts or psychologist minds, but the best comfort that you can ever give God's people will always be comfort that comes straight out of the Word of God. That's what you need. That's the kind of comfort they need, and that's the kind of comfort you give, is the comfort that comes out of the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4, the Word of God teaches us here that we can find and give comfort from the Scriptures. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now I believe, brethren, that the Scriptures comfort me personally. I find great comfort in the Scriptures. When I think about my sin, and I know that I deserve eternal hell, the only thing that helps me is the comfort of the Scriptures that tell me what Jesus Christ has done for me. When I know what Jesus has done and is doing, and I know what the Scriptures tell me about the mercy and the grace of God, it causes me to worship God because of His amazing grace. I get great comfort from the Scriptures. And we need to get comfort from the Scriptures, but we need to be able to take the Scriptures and give comfort to other people from the Word of God. So that we can be, instead of being miserable comforters, so that we can be good comforters by taking the comfort that is found, the comfort of the Scriptures. For example, when someone dies, is there a passage of Scripture? And this is a test for all of you. Is there a passage of Scripture that the Bible specifically says that when someone is mourning the death of a loved one, does the Bible say that there are some specific Scriptures that you can give them that God says use these Scriptures to comfort them in the loss of their loved one? Are there Scriptures that God specifically says, this is what this is for? In other words, it's like getting a... How many of you have different bottles of medicine in your medicine cabinet? Some people have several different kinds of medicine. Well, now, how do you know which one's which? Well, you can look at the particular pill, or you can look on the outside of the bottle, and it's supposed to be labeled on the outside of the bottle. Well, God says, now, in this situation, this is the medicine that God's people need. This is the scriptures that you're to use when someone dies. I want somebody here to tell me, what is the passage of Scripture, the number one passage of Scripture, the one that most clearly God says, comfort one another with these words when they've lost a loved one and they're sorrowing? What is the passage of Scripture that you would go to? Well, you could go to Psalm 23 and you could go to a lot of other Scriptures. And certainly Psalm 23 would be a Scripture that would be used, that would be helpful. I don't think there's a better passage of Scripture than Psalm 23. And probably of all the Scriptures that are read at funerals, probably the one that is used more than any other is Psalm 23. And one of the passages in that Psalm, of course, the first one is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it's good to know that God's your shepherd. But then the fourth verse there says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And we use that scripture often to comfort people that even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil because God is with you. And I think there's certainly great words of comfort in Psalm 23. But there's another passage that God specifically says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words," when they lose a loved one. What is that? Yes, everybody turn in your Bibles now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You need to know this. You need to know where the medicine is. You need to know what the medicine is. You need to know what God says. This is the passage to use when you lose loved ones. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please look in your Bibles toward the middle of the New Testament or towards the end of the New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Now, brethren, you're going to lose some loved ones if you live very long. And when you lose some loved ones, you need to read this passage of Scripture. Is death something that you don't like to think about? I don't like to think about my mama dying. I think about it sometimes, but I don't like to think about her dying. Don't like to think about anybody dying. Don't like to think about you dying. But when you die, when I die, you need Scripture to comfort you, don't you? We need Scripture. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, and he's going to say now, I'm going to come down to verse 18 so we can back up. Verse 18 says, "Wherefore," what's the next word? "Comfort one another with these words." Does that specifically tell you the words to use to comfort somebody when they've lost loved ones? Go back down to verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Is that a good word of comfort right there? God says they're asleep. Isn't that good? You remember when Mary and Martha's brother died? Lazarus was dead, and whenever the statement was made, "He sleepeth," they said, "No, he's not asleep, he's dead." And Jesus said, "He sleepeth. He sleepeth." Is that a comforting word that God's given us in His holy word that tells us something good about people that are dead? They're asleep. They're asleep. You think of somebody dead, you think of the end of life. Well, death in the life of a child of God is not the end of life. It's just the separation of life from the body. And the body is called asleep. And if you're asleep, isn't that a good way? How many of you like to sleep? Oh, sleep's good, brethren. Sleep's good for you. Sleep's good for you. We like to sleep. Well, death is asleep. Is that words of comfort? I think that it is. He says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now those who have no hope, those who don't believe in Jesus, those who don't believe in the resurrection, those who believe that death is the end of life, they have no hope. Do they have a reason to sorrow? Oh yes, they do. He says to the children of God, don't you sorrow as others who have no hope. You have a Savior. He is your hope. He's your salvation. He's your deliverer. He is eternal life. He's all that you need. And you need to comfort one another with those words. For if we believe, verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. He says they're asleep. And Jesus is going to come back and is going to bring the spirits of those that are dead or asleep. He says in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You can't keep them in the grave. Verse 16 says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, is that encouraging whenever you're at the graveside? Does it encourage you to think about this body is going to come forth from the grave? Is that encouraging to you? Is that a good comforter? Now, you don't need to just say, well, I think one day this body's going to be... No, don't just tell them what you think. It doesn't really matter what you think, because somebody else thinks different. But what you need to give them is the words from the Word of God. You tell them what God's Word says. That the body is going to be raised from the earth. And then verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Eternity with God. Forever with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, do you need words of comfort? Are there times you don't know what to say? Now, you don't have to go read this scripture to somebody every time somebody dies. But when you find somebody groping and grasping and not knowing what to do, and what to think. There are people that don't understand death. Did you know that? There are a lot of church-going people that don't understand death. There are a lot of people that when they lose a loved one, they need somebody to help explain some things to them. And it's not that you're smarter than anybody else. It's that God, in His wisdom, has said, I know that you're going to need some words to say when they lose a loved one, so here it is. Now you comfort one another with these words. Can you be a good comforter? Can you be a miserable comforter? Yes, you can. Which one was Job's friends? Which kind of comforter were they? Miserable. What kind? Miserable comforter. That's what Job said. Ye are all miserable comforters. He said, ye are all physicians of no value. You're useless. In fact, you're worse than nothing. You know, what would have been better for his friends to have done, said nothing, or for them to say the things they said? Then better for them to just say nothing. So they were worse than nothing. Go with me to 2 Corinthians just a moment. Turning your Bibles back up just a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see that you can comfort people with the same comfort. Now, who is, listen carefully, is Brother David Durrance a good comforter? Is he a good comforter? Yes, he is. I could go all over this building and I see many, many, many good comforters. They know how to comfort. They know the words to say. But I want all of you to know the one comforter that we need above any other human comforter is God Himself. He's the great comforter. And He's the only one who can bless you to be a comforter to somebody else. But I want you to always remember that the great comforter is God Himself. Those of you that have had great trouble in your lives, do you know the only comforter that you can have sometimes is just God Himself speaking to you? You just have to have God lift you up. I had a lady call me this week from Bartow, Georgia, and she was weeping, and she said, call me about 7 o'clock in the morning. She said, Brother Billy, I hate to bother you, but I'm fixing to go for an MRI on my head, and I'm very claustrophobic. And she said, I am petrified. And she was just shaking and crying. And she said, would you please, please pray for me? And we had prayer, and she calmed down some, and I talked to her after she was through with that, and she said, Brother Billy, she said, it was amazing. She said, when I started into the doors of that building, God was with me. She said, I felt God with me. And this is a woman that's had nerve problems and everything else for a number of years, just a nervous wreck most of the time. And she said, the peace of God came over me. And she said, when I went into that room to have that MRI, and they told me to close my eyes, and they started putting me in that machine, she said, I could just feel God with me. And the woman said, you don't get nervous very often, do you? The other woman, the nurse that was there, you don't get nervous. She said, I told her with my eyes closed, oh, I stay nervous most of the time. But she went through that procedure and came out, and she said, Brother Billy, and I told her, I said, I want you to sing. I want you to say the 23rd Psalm. I want you to say the 100th Psalm. She said, I did what you said. I sang. I quoted, she said, I did the 23rd Psalm, which Brother Jerry mentioned. Is that a good comforting psalm? Yes, it is. Over and over. She said, I said the 23rd Psalm, the 27th Psalm, the 100th Psalm. She said, I quoted, and then just over and over. She said, I said the Lord's Prayer. She went through scripture after scripture, and she said, before I knew it, it was all over. She said, I had nothing but peace. You know who was with her? God, the great physician. Oh, yes. You see, what did Job say about his friends? Your physician's of no value. What about God? Oh, he's the great physician. What did he say about his friends? You are all miserable comforters. What about God? Well, he's the great comforter. What's the Holy Spirit? Jesus was about to leave this earth, and he said, I'm going away. But if you'll keep my commandments, I'll send who? I'll send the comforter. And then he tells it, that's John 14, 16. Then in John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God comforts us. Have you felt God with you, Sister Nina? She's mentioned how wonderful it is that Brother Herman's been carrying her, but there's a limit to how far he can go, isn't there? And then when he's gone as far as he can, God goes the rest of the way. God's with her. God's with you, isn't he, Sister Valerie? Over and over. Sister, all these people that are facing, you know what's the worst word? What's the one word that you would rather not hear than any other word in all the English language? Anybody know? What's the one word you don't want to ever hear about you? Say it again. Cancer. Cancer. It's the C word. It's horrible. It is today what leprosy was in the days of Jesus Christ. I don't mean that in the wrong way. What I mean by that is, I think that cancer is as dreaded today as leprosy was in the days of the apostles. And yet some people, when they hear that they have cancer, they charge forward. You know who's there comforting them every step of the way? The only one who can always be there, and the only one who can always give comfort, the perfect comforter, is the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the great comforter. Now, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to verses 3 and 4. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Word of God says, Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Now, do you hear what he says there? He is the God of all comfort. That tells me two things. Number one, that he comforts us. But the second thing it tells me is, if anybody else ever comforts me, it's God that blessed them to comfort me. Have you ever had a good comforter come to you and say some words of comfort? You know who sent them? You know who gave them the words? You know who told them, don't say a word, just put their arm around you? You know who told them, don't say a word, just hug them? You know who told them to do that? God. He is the God of all comfort. If you have ever been comforted, it was either God Himself personally comforting you, or it was God taking some other human being and sending that individual and giving them the words or the no words to comfort you in that hour. He is the God of all comfort. Listen now to verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4 says, Who comforteth us, who is the word pronoun who referring back to? God. God comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Isn't that a beautiful verse of Scripture? He comforts us so that we can go comfort somebody else, so that they can feel the same comfort that we felt when God came and comforted us. Isn't that amazing that God would take such wretched sinners as we are and help us to be able to be a, instead of being a miserable comforter, can you be a good comforter? Yes, you can. But you need to pray, God, help me to be a good comforter. Don't you ever go try to comfort somebody without you praying, God, I can't comfort them without you. You can, let me tell you this. You can have words that work perfectly in one situation and you say, boy, that's what I need to do every time. And you can take those same words to the next person and they'll want to hang you for it. You need to pray every time, God, help me to know. Give me wisdom. Help me to speak words of comfort. Job's friends, let me say in closing about Job's friends. What were they called? What did Job say about them? Ye are all miserable comforters. Now let's go back to his friends just a moment in closing. Go to Job chapter 42. Go to Job chapter 42. Let's see the end of the book of Job. Now we started out this morning in Job chapter 16, but I want you to notice the end of the book of Job, Job chapter 42. We're going to come to the end of Job's life, and God has told Job that he's got to pray for his friends. Would you have trouble praying for those miserable? You remember what he said now? You're all miserable comforters. He says, you're physicians of no value. Would you have trouble praying for friends like that, Brother Andy? I'd have trouble too. Friends who had mistreated you and falsely accused you. Here's what God said. Job 42, listen, starting in verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. What did Job have to do before God turned his captivity? He had to pray for his what? For his friends. What kind of friends were they? Give me the two phrases. They were what? Miserable comforters and what? Physicians of no value. And he had to pray for those friends. And then the rest of that verse says, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now listen to verse 11. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and, what do the next two words say? Comforted him. Do you hear what finally happened? They finally were able, same people, they comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Upon every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. They all began to give him things. Do you see that? So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that about Job's friends. What were they? They were what kind of friends? Tell me, fill in the blank. They were what kind of friends? They're what kind of comforters? Miserable comforters. But one day, they came back, and they were what? They were good comforters. So when you mess up, and you're a miserable comforter, don't stop. You run to God and say, God, I messed up, and I didn't say the right words. And I want you to help me when I go back, and I want you to help me to be a good comforter. Because that's what Job's friends were in the end of his life. They were good comforters. May God help us, is my prayer. To not be miserable comforters, but to be good comforters, is my prayer for Christ's sake.